Certainly good to see everyone out this morning as we worship God. As I mentioned in Bible class, I'm certainly thankful to be filling in for Jerry as he is on vacation. I always enjoy the opportunity to come and visit with the brethren here. I would encourage you, as I always do when I preach, to pick up a Bible and follow along with me as we look at what God has to say. Because it's His opinion that matters. It's His Word that matters, not mine or not any man's. So let's look to His Word and see what He has to say. With that being said, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today. We're going to be looking at a very familiar parable of our Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus was the master teacher. And one of the methods that He utilized were parables. It's been estimated that at least one-third of the recording teachings is in the form of parable. One of these purposes, one purpose to four parables, that is, was to conceal. He spoke in these parables because of the hardness of people's hearts. So by using them, He could differentiate the truth seekers from other individuals. Another purpose of parables was to reveal. You see, the comparison between the known or the earthly with the unknown or the heavenly shed further light on the unknown. Today, let's look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Beginning in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, "And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied and said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said to him, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Again, a well-known parable from all that Jesus spoke. We see in verse 25, this lawyer would have been one who was well-versed in the law of Moses. He tempts Jesus, as some versions say, or tests Jesus. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean it was a negative connotation. The question may have been a trap for Jesus, or it could have been a sincere question. Verse 26, Jesus points back to the law, as he often does, answering a question with a question. In verse 27, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Upon these two laws, the entire law was based. To love the Lord your God with every ounce of being and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this man asks, "Who is my parable?" And Jesus responds, "Who is my neighbor, I should say?" And Jesus responds with a parable. This parable of the Good Samaritan, we see this man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, about 17 miles. This would have been rocky, rugged terrain. It wouldn't have been a walk in the park, so to speak. It would have been hilly. Robbers would hide behind these hills and attack those who passed by. They would jump them. They would take their goods. This was known as the Way of Blood, this area. This man was beaten. He was stripped. He was robbed. He was left half dead. Two people passed by. These two people are, the first was a Jewish priest, a holy man, a religious man, a man who would know what his obligation would be. But he passed by. The second man was a Levite. He would be the helper to the priest. Again, a holy man, a religious man, a man who would know his obligation. But he passed by. It's interesting in the King James Version, the way that it reads, it's almost as if this Levite came over to this man, looked at him, and then passed by on the other side and went his way. Nonetheless, these two men ignored the need of this individual. We have to ask the question, why would these two holy and religious men pass by? It's hard to say, but maybe they had the attitude of, I don't have time to help this man. I have somewhere to be, I need to get there, and I need to get there quick. Maybe they had the attitude of, I don't even know this man. Why should I help him? It's interesting that Jesus used a Samaritan as the third one to pass by. Because the Samaritans and the Jews didn't really like each other. That's a very big understatement on my part. They hated one another. The Samaritans were viewed as half-breeds, cursed by God. There was a saying among the Jews that say, it's better to take food from the mouth of a dog than from the hand of a Samaritan. To say that they didn't like each other was a big understatement. So this Samaritan comes by and he shows compassion. He sees this man in need, he stops and he helps. He bandages the wounds. He applies oil and wine. That would have been their first aid in those days. He puts him on his own animal. He takes him to an inn. He gives the innkeeper some money. And he says, look, if you need more, you take care of this man. And when I pass through, I'm going to give you what you spend. I will pay you. Now talk about going above and beyond. This man did that. And in verse 36, Jesus asked the question to the lawyer, which one was the neighbor to the man? An obvious answer. The man obviously says the one who showed compassion. He answered right. So as we look at this parable, we have to draw what we learn from it. So what do we learn? There's a lot of things that we learn. I want to spend the rest of our time on that. The first is our neighbor is anyone in need. Galatians 6 and in verse 10, the Bible says to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. But we need to seek opportunities to help all men, whether we know them or we're not, or we don't. And in doing so, just like Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, that God will be glorified. Secondly, we see that we must practice the truth and not just know it. The first two men that passed by, they knew the truth. They knew what they needed to do. They knew the right thing to do, yet they didn't do it. James 1 and verse 22, the Bible says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We can hear God's word preached over and over, year after year. But if we don't apply it to our lives, it's pointless. God doesn't want us to only hear it preached. God wants us to do what His Word says. We need to be doers of the Word. Thirdly, true love is demonstrated in action. If you were to ask that priest and that Levite, hey, did you love that man you passed on the way here? They might have said, yeah, I love him. Now, would we believe that? Would the individual that hypothetically asked that question believe that if they knew they walked by him and didn't offer him any assistance? No. Because true love is demonstrated in our actions. So we can say we love you, but if we don't act in a way that shows that, then we're really not being consistent with ourselves. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, we see the greatest example of this. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. We see this demonstrated in the life of Christ. True love was demonstrated by his actions. He left the place that we strive to go. He came to this sinful earth. He lived a perfect life. He lived a life in which he did nothing wrong. He never transgressed God's law. And he died for essentially enemies. This is true love. And we need to be more like this in helping other individuals. Fourthly, we see failure to do good is just as wrong as doing evil. Notice James chapter 4. Failure to do good is just as wrong as doing evil. In James chapter 4, we see this. James 4 verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's a very sobering thought. Should be a very sobering thought. The priest and the Levite, again, knew what they needed to do, but they didn't do it. I'm sure there are times when we may know that we need to do something, but we didn't do it. Let's, as we move forward, look to take advantage of those opportunities and do what we need to do. The fifth lesson is the need for compassion. We need to be a compassionate people. Jesus taught this in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who are gentle. An attitude of love and compassion. Compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering of another. But it goes a little beyond that. It's the desire to relieve the suffering. So, an awareness of those who suffer and a desire to help them. Jesus was a compassionate individual. Notice Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14 and at verse 14. The Bible says, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. His compassion led him to heal those who were sick. His compassion also led him to teach. Notice Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So even his teaching came from a sense of compassion. Do we have compassion on other individuals in need? Willing to help them? Willing to help them in their times of sickness, in their times of struggle? Do we have compassion on other individuals that may not know the truth of the gospel? Do we seek to teach them God's word? So we need to be a compassionate people. God expects this from us. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Some versions there in verse 8 say compassionate. We need to be a compassionate people. And in Colossians chapter 3, a list of characteristics that we need to put on when we obey the gospel. But notice Colossians 3, verse 12. He says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you also, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love. But in verse 12, he says to put on a heart of compassion. There's many areas that we can take advantage of to show our compassionate heart. And again, in doing so, God is glorified. When we look at the quote-unquote religious people of Jesus' day, the Pharisees. The Pharisees, although religious, they lacked compassion. They thought they were above the poor. They thought they were above the handicapped. They thought they were above the sinner. And Jesus came along and lived a life contrary to what they lived. Taught things contrary to what they taught. We need to be a compassionate people. The sixth thing we see, the cost of compassion. We need to be willing to cross social barriers. We need to not be partial when we seek to be compassionate. You see, the Samaritan didn't see this man on the ground as a Jew. Again, because Jews and Samaritans hated one another. The Samaritan saw this as a man on the ground in need of help. He was willing to cross that social barrier to help this man. Compassion also can involve risk-taking. What if the robbers were still there? What if they were still hiding, waiting on someone else they could attack and rob? You see, the Samaritan put that aside for the concern of this man. He put aside his concern for his own safety while he helped this individual. There's a willingness to set aside busy schedules. It's safe to say the Samaritan was going somewhere. He may have had somewhere to be. He may have had someone to visit. But he put his busy schedule aside to help this man. He might not have made it to where he needed to go, because all this took time out of his day. It took time out of his busy schedule to help someone in need. And we see a willingness to make sacrifices. This Samaritan used his own money, his own oil, his own wine, his own animal to help this man in need. So we see the cost of compassion, but it's a good cost. Next, we see the need to be impartial. Too many times, even in our society today, there's barriers. Whether they be black, white, whether they be upper class, middle class, lower class, whatever the barrier is, unfortunately, it's still there. Obviously, the black-white barrier was more prevalent in the past. But it's still there, unfortunately. We need to be impartial. We need to treat everyone the same, regardless of age, race, sex, whatever. To put it quite simply, we need to treat other people the way that we want to be treated. The golden rule that Jesus taught. It may seem cliche, or it may seem very basic, but if the world operates by that standard, we would see a big difference in society. Notice James chapter 2, verse 10, or verse 9, excuse me. James talks about partiality. And if we think we're better than someone, so much so that we're not going to help them, or that we might not talk to them, or that we may treat them differently, we need to be awoken to this. James chapter 2, verse 9, "But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors." Partiality is sin. Now, it might not be viewed by the world as a big sin or a big deal. But we have to understand that sin is sin in God's eyes. And if we sin, it's going to cost us our soul. Whether it's not it's us murdering someone or us being partial to someone. We need to be an impartial people. And lastly, we see in this text a lesson of pride versus humility. Again, I've probably said it to you all before, but as you look at the Bible, as you read stories, as you study it, over and over again, you see pride versus humility. I dare say in just about every story that we read about, there's pride versus humility. The priest and the Levite were too proud to help. And that's really what it boiled down to, a pride factor. When you think about it, they didn't have the time to help. They didn't want to help this individual. So that boils down to a selfish pride mentality. But then the Samaritan comes along and he humbles himself. He takes time out of his day. He addresses the needs of this man. I want you to notice Philippians chapter 2. There's many passages, many examples that we can look to make this point about pride versus humility. We see that God hates pride. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 tells us that. Pride is listed first in that list of things that God hates, because it's the cause of all disobedience. But I want you to notice Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. The Bible says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." This defines that Good Samaritan. He wasn't looking out for his own personal interests. He was looking out for the interests of this man who was brutally beaten and robbed. This text in Philippians, the ultimate example is obviously Christ. And it goes on to say that there in verse 5, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." He did this for us. He was willing to endure the pain and the suffering so that we could have that hope of heaven. The ultimate example of humility. As we close this lesson, I would encourage us to be more like that Good Samaritan. To put others before ourselves. That can be hard in this busy society that we live in, with our busy schedules. But if we want to be pleasing to God, we need to do this. We need to seek opportunities to help. We need to seek opportunities to serve. This begins with submitting to God. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel and you're here this morning. We would encourage you to put on Christ, to submit yourself to God's plan. Obey the gospel. Maybe you've put on Christ but have sinned in a public manner, or maybe have fallen away. We would encourage you to make the necessary corrections. Because as enjoyable as this life can be sometimes, it's going to pale in comparison to the joys of heaven. Start serving God today. Come as we stand and sing.